This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, and welcome to episode 37 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. I'm your host, Jennifer Tribe. So, cool thing to tell you about today. You might have heard about this through some other Ovik channels recently. We launched it last week. It's called the Frankly MSP Brain Trust. And essentially what we've done is pulled together four of the best business and MSP experts we know and asked them to be on this panel, the Brain Trust. And we got each one of them to offer 2 hours of free consulting in their area of expertise. And we're giving that away. 8 hours of consulting total to one MSP somewhere in the world this month. And wait until you hear who the four experts are. We've got Nigel Moore, founder and leader of the Tech Tribe. So Nigel, he's an MSP consultant and trainer. He's been on the podcast before on episode 8, talking about SOPs. Nigel will be consulting on MSP operations, service delivery, back office admin and finance, process, SOPs, all that stuff. So if you win, you can ask him about any of those things. Next on the Brain Trust is cybersecurity expert Nick Espinoza. Nick has also been on this podcast before. He was my guest on episode 23, talking about how to build out a cybersecurity practice in your MSP. He's consulting on anything to do with cybersecurity. You can ask him for advice on your client setup, your own setup, security policy, procedure, best gear, whatever you want there. Third on the Brain Trust is Rob Ray, VP of Business Development at Datto. He's consulting on sales and marketing, so how to build a sales team, sales compensation, market positioning, pricing, packaging, branding, all of that stuff. And last but not least, we've got Mark Morin, who is Ovik's CEO and co-founder of the company. Mark is a very successful serial entrepreneur. Actually, Ovik is his third big company. So he'll be consulting on executive leadership, high-level corporate strategy, performance management, all of that kind of thing. Four folks with incredible experience and insights that they're willing to put to work for you if you win the Frankly MSP Brain Trust sweepstakes. All you need to do is head over to ovik.com/brain-trust. That's ovik.com/brain-trust and enter your name. The sweepstakes is open to residents of the United States, Canada, except Quebec, the UK, Ireland, New Zealand, and Australia, except New South Wales and the Australian Capital Territory. We tried really hard to open this up to as many people as possible. In some geographies, unfortunately, we ran into some complex sweepstakes legalities. But if you are in one of the eligible countries, go right now to ovik.com/brain-trust and enter your name to win. The deadline to enter is February 28th, 2019. And by the way, there's only one sweepstakes winner who gets the 8 hours of consulting, but we wanted to share some of the Brain Trust awesomeness with everyone. So when you enter your name, you'll automatically unlock a special private podcast episode. It's not available anywhere else, featuring short interviews with Nigel, Nick, Rob, and Mark about the questions they get asked the most. And that's available to anyone worldwide, regardless of location. So if you're in Italy, for example, you can still enter your name on the Brain Trust page. You'll unlock the podcast. You just won't be eligible to win the 8 hours of consulting.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Ovik Networks.
Everything's moving to the cloud. You hear that a lot in this business, and really, it's true. And for the most part, that means moving your clients or supporting them in the public cloud. But there's also private cloud to consider. Is this something your MSP could offer and offer profitably? Today on the podcast, I'm talking to John Watkins, VP and COO at Intersight IT Solutions in Florida. Intersight has about 90% of their clients on a private cloud offering. But as we discussed, private cloud is not for the faint of heart. John walks us through the many challenges and pitfalls of offering private cloud, but also some of the very big benefits. That's coming up. But first, our new One Thing segment, where we hear from an MSP about one thing that's made a difference in their business. Today, we've got Corey Kirkendall of 5K Technical Solutions. Here's what he had to say.
My name is Corey Kirkendall. I'm the president and CEO of 5K Technical Services, located in Allen, Texas. My one thing, you know, when I was young, I grew up as a military brat, and my father was a drill sergeant. So it was always about methodical approaches. And that led me to say, you know, that one thing for me has been proper documentation and checklists. That has saved us so many times. that I cannot even can't even imagine living without it. So immediately, once we figured that out, we started implementing documentation, following the proper checklist, and that ensures that we provide a consistent, repeatable process to all of our customers. So one of the tools we use a lot is IT Glue. That has allowed us to have access to proper documentation. Everybody can access it. Everybody can see and do things from the same database and things from that perspective. So it allows us to be consistent.
Documentation, also a recurring theme in this industry and on this podcast. My interview with Nigel Moore on episode 8, by the way, is a great place to go if you're looking for details on how to get started with documentation or how to optimize what you've got. So what's your one thing? What idea, strategy, tool, book, process, thing made a real difference to your MSP career or business? Put it another way. Let's say a new MSP walked up to you at a conference and said, just getting started in this space. What advice can you give me? What's worked for you? And you can only tell them one thing. What would that one thing be? Tell us in a voice memo and email the recording to franklymsp@ovic.com. Not only could you be podcast famous by being featured on this show, I'll also send you a Frankly MSP t-shirt. They're pretty cool, and I want to give them away. So that email address again for sending your one thing voice recording is franklymsp@ovic.com. Now we come to my interview with John Watkins of Intersight, talking about private cloud. Hi, John. Welcome to Frankly MSP.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to talk about private cloud today, private cloud and public cloud, because your MSP offers both. So give us a quick thumbnail sketch of Intersight and the kind of stuff you're offering, size, location, that kind of thing.
Well, we are in the Southeast region based out of Tampa, Florida. We have the standard MSP offerings as far as managed services, RMM monitoring, security services, firewall, that kind of thing. We also offer hosted voice over IP solutions, as well as our private and public cloud solutions.
So how long have you been offering the private cloud?
The private cloud came about close to 4 years now that we started offering it as an open offering to our clients.
And what inspired you to start offering that?
It all started with one client. They had an in-house legacy server that they were definitely needing to replace, but they didn't have the power. They had very dirty power, pretty much. It was a construction site. So it was hard to get reliable power. Even APCs, UPSs were causing some issues. So they asked if we could host it in our office because we have redundant ISPs, better battery backups than they had on their site. So after hosting their solution for about 6 months or so without any hiccups, and they were very happy with the speed of the service and the overall offering, we started offering it to a few of our other clients, and it grew from there.
What's the appeal of the private cloud for clients versus regular public cloud?
In the past, and even last night, actually, there are some reliability issues as far as public cloud goes. And when that happens, when Azure goes down for half the globe, there's nothing you can do except for wait for Microsoft to sort that out. We have a 99.99% uptime across all of our solutions, all of our services. And there's a real appeal there for clients to be able to know physically where their data is stored, especially when it comes to HIPAA offices, the doctors and providers that are in charge of the decisions for those types of services really like to be able to say, okay, I can go to this address down the road and say, okay, in that rack is all my information.
So there's a question there of where their data is hosted, and sounds like reliability as well.
Yes.
Anything else? What about the price? How does that work out for clients?
We have a couple different ways that we price out our solutions. The original format that we followed was, here's our price list per gig of RAM or 100 gigs of storage. We spec that per what the client would need for replacing their current infrastructure or rolling out a new service, a new website, web app, whatever they happen to need. We'd price that out basically on a usability metric, and that would just get billed monthly, just like any other service that we do. Recently, though, we have started to incorporate the cloud backend into a monthly pricing based on users. So they pay a flat fee based on how many users they have at their location, and we include all the services with that.
And describe your setup. Like, you have a colo situation, or what are you doing there?
Yep. We have actually two co-location facilities in the Tampa area, and then we replicate out backups and live VMs for replication up to Atlanta and Dallas. We had a few other locations, but we've been consolidating down just because it was kind of overkill. We don't really have any clients out west, so we eliminated the LA facility we were using for a little while. We're just trying to focus on the Southeast region right now.
And any challenges? So you say you've been doing this for 4 years now. Any challenges in the first, say, 6 months or a year as you were getting started with this? Sort of gotchas that you weren't anticipating as you started it going?
Lots of challenges, especially in the first couple of years. When you're talking about the type of service that we're trying to provide, it's a massive jump away from the standard MSP services. For this, we had to really engage with Dell and their engineers, as well as make sure that we're hiring people with the right skill set and experience to be able to support the enterprise side of the hardware that we're using. So with this setup specifically, we have a number of Dell host servers, SAN arrays over iSCSI, and Fibre Channel for storage. We use Veeam for backups and replications. It's a more complex environment than many MSPs that I know of and have met with would want to mess with, let alone have experience building out.
There was an interesting thread on the MSP subreddit a while ago. Somebody was asking, should I host my own cloud? What are you guys doing? Is it profitable? Is it working? And a couple of people said, yeah, it was totally working for them. It was profitable. But everybody else was saying, no way, man, don't do it. It's way more complicated than you think it'll be. The margins aren't there. What's your experience with that been?
They're right on. It's much more complicated than most people would expect. If you haven't done a setup like this previously, you're going to hit roadblock after roadblock of things that you're going to have to learn and become very comfortable with things that you've never touched or dreamed you would have to be managing. And honestly, if we were starting over today, we would probably go public cloud along with everybody else. But at the point where we made the decision, we had the capital to invest in the proper hardware. We had the proper people that were able to support it. And we already had a client base there that was willing and excited to move to that kind of offering. So we knew that we would be able to make a profit after about a 6 to 8 month time frame.
So you do have some clients on private cloud and some on public cloud, right?
Yes.
And in terms of margins, how do the two compare?
A lot more time to manage and maintain our private cloud. It's a lot more resource intensive in the labor aspect. Public cloud is a lot more, especially with PAX 8, it's very simple to say, okay, hey, we want this kind of setup. Can you help us design it and implement it? With the private cloud, there are a lot more labor costs associated, but the monthly costs are very fixed. Right now, it's about $2,000 for our colo facilities. And outside of the basic maintenance that we have in our hardware upgrade plans and switch upgrades, we don't really have any other costs. Whereas with Azure, there's a monthly cost that expands as you grow your infrastructure and your client base in that cost. And it can be difficult to forecast your environment and difficult to forecast the billing from that.
So if the private cloud is more labor intensive, does that mean that clients pay more for the private cloud?
The private cloud does, with our labor costs, it does cost more than just pushing clients up to a public cloud like Azure, AWS. But along with those costs, we also have a much better uptime. We have a quicker service time. We had a situation recently where a client of ours had some on-prem services that they needed to stay up while they're moving their physical offices. So while their hardware is actually moving, we're able to just back it up to our private cloud and then move it back on premises once they finish their migration without having to worry about the added cost of data transfer up to Azure. And this client specifically has multiple terabytes, so that would have been probably a C drive scenario, adding a lot more time to it. Being local and having really reliable connections to our colo facilities has allowed us to take migration times down, as well as improve the usage of the resources that the clients have on site.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks.
What percentage of clients do you have on private versus public?
At the moment, for all of our cloud clients, it's about a 90-10 split. The only clients that we have that are excluding Office 365, but if you're talking about like actual Azure server infrastructure, the only clients that we have with Azure AWS infrastructure came to us with that infrastructure and are happy with it. The solution works for them. It's mostly small web apps, custom backends for their database and things like that.
You said earlier that if you had to do it all over again now versus 4 years ago, you probably wouldn't get into the private cloud. Mm-hmm. Any plans to migrate existing clients off now?
We have the infrastructure and we continue to invest in it. And I don't see us moving completely away from our private cloud at the moment. There definitely will be, there have been multiple scenarios where we've taken a look at Azure and AWS. And actually right now I've engaged with the Google Cloud team to kind of see what their offerings are. I don't think there's any one good solution that will be the best solution forever. It's important to look at public cloud versus private cloud, and we reevaluate that every 6 to 8 months to make sure that we are going the right direction, that we're not going to fall behind technologically wise, finance wise, or sink too much labor into something that isn't going to provide the income that it would need to really be profitable.
And I wonder, with the bulk of your clients in the private cloud, is this something that's a marketing or selling feature for businesses in the area where you can go and say, hey, come with us, we've got private cloud, it's cost effective, you know, we know it frontwards and backwards, it's very reliable. Are you finding that's a draw for clients?
Oh, absolutely. Going back again to the medical space, the providers that we've worked with really have a fear of all their data, especially with the new HIPAA fines that have been coming down hard on even the small guys. They have a fear of their data getting compromised because it hasn't been protected properly. We've built relationships with the providers over years. They trust us. They understand that we know what we're doing. And so for us to be able to manage not just the data, but where the data is stored and the infrastructure behind that, gives them a good peace of mind to know that we're going to be looking out for them.
You mentioned that it's a specific skill set to manage private cloud. Have you had trouble finding that skill set, or what's the labor pool like for that?
In general, it's very difficult to find a very good engineer for an MSP. It's a tough environment to work at any level. But when you start to talk about the kind of engineer that can support A to Z, everything in that private cloud, you have to have somebody with lots of experience, lots of hands-on knowledge of these technologies. It is extremely difficult. For about the last 2 years, we've been trying to find an engineer to kind of help out with those tasks and responsibilities. We went through 5 or 6 different prospects over the last couple of years, and we finally have found somebody that is up to the task. So that is definitely a consideration that people need to have in mind before they decide to just buy a couple servers and throw it into colo. You need a team of people, honestly. With VMware, Citrix, Hyper-V experience, you need security guys, we have Cisco guys. We have to cover every piece of the puzzle for our private cloud. If we can't support it and we have to wait 2 or 3 days for a vendor to come in and do some kind of on-site maintenance or repair or something like that, then we're down. That's just not an option. So we need to have all that talent and knowledge in-house at all times.
So how many engineers do you have and how many clients are they supporting?
Right now we have a team of 9 and we have 198 different locations that we support.
Has it been a limiting factor on your growth, though, that you haven't been able to find an engineer and so you haven't been able to take on clients that you might have wanted to?
It has been a limiting factor in that my partner and I haven't been able to move away from the technical back-end management and help grow the business as much as we've wanted to. That's definitely been something that has impacted us as far as our growth. But at the same time, we have clients that have been on the private cloud from the very beginning, and we have gotten a number of referrals from those clients. And we make sure that we always have the capacity to add more clients as they come to us. I keep all the servers at 50 to 60% utilization across all the specs, just so we have that availability to add or replicate or do a migration for a client, anything we may need. Want to make sure that we have ready and available.
Last question. Let's go back to this MSP subreddit where the guy was asking, you know, private cloud, should I do it or should I not? What's your advice?
If you have the talent and you have the budget, then you can definitely make a good profit with it. You just have to be very careful. This isn't a space for someone who isn't detail oriented. It's not for someone who isn't kind of OCD about backups and checking logs. You just really can't understate the amount of back end work that goes in after you have a client migrated into your cloud. The work doesn't stop after you've done the P2V. It continues every week, every day to make sure that those clients are safe and the backups are there and tested. If you're a small team, I would say definitely leverage public cloud. At this point, there's a lot of different options out there. There's third parties that'll pretty much spin up everything that you would need. You're going to lose your margin, a good portion of your margin there. You don't want to lose a client's data. You don't want a client to get crypto. I know of a local MSP who did a similar setup. And then one of their clients got hit with crypto. And because they didn't have their actual networks segregated for their virtual environment, every one of their clients got hit simultaneously.
Oh, no,
that was we actually got 2 clients from that issue, from that MSP. So you just need to be very careful that you've crossed all your T's and dotted all your I's.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, John, and sharing your experiences.
Well, thanks a lot for having me.
That was John Watkins, VP and COO at Intersight IT Solutions. I'll put links to all of the things discussed on today's episode in today's show notes at avic.com/franklymsp/037. Also, if you'd like to continue the conversation about private cloud, head over to the Frankly MSP community on LinkedIn. This is a topic, private cloud, that people tend to have strong opinions about one way or the other, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. And of course, don't forget to send in your one thing recordings to franklymsp@avic.com to be featured on the show and snag a new Frankly MSP t-shirt. That's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.